Last week we kicked off a series, or last couple weeks ago, we kicked off a series called For. We've really just been talking about what you are for and what you really are for and what maybe that you are against. And I've made the point several times, we could probably go to your Facebook and we could look and we can tell a lot of different things that you're for, and we can tell some different things there. And so the first week we really just talked about how we are for community because we're for you. And we really do believe that being involved in a community of believers in a community group is just important, and we believe that because we believe that life change happens in community. And then last week we really just stopped and we looked at being for the city. And we really talked about just being for families, just thinking about for families, being pray about for families that you can just be for, that you can invest in. And I just encourage you just to continue just to think about those for people. We talked about making better spaces for people in our city. And we talked about just to simply being for our city partners. And we talked about being for messy lives. And so as we think about this for, first I want to start this question this morning is, have you ever lost something? Like, I'm probably sure some of you probably couldn't find your keys this morning, or maybe it was your phone this morning, something that you lost. I was really thinking, when I thought about that question, it really made me think back. Me and my wife, we used to have this dog that was a husky. And we had this dog before either one of my boys was ever born. And this dog, we loved this dog, and we took care of this dog. And then we had our first son. And I'm pretty sure, like, when we had our first child, like, this dog thought me and Amy no longer existed, because her love immediately went to this child. And it was like we didn't care. And it was so bad that Ethan, my oldest son, he loved to go on walks. And so what he wanted to do, well, he loved to walk. Loved you to walk and pull him in a wagon, I should say. And so that was just like his favorite thing to do. And so when he did that, you had to go by our fence, and we had a chain link fence, and he was going to stick his hands inside the fence, and that dog was going to run over there, and it was going to lick his hands, as gross as that sounds. And then we'd walk down the road, and as soon as we would get out of the picture where that dog could see him, the dog's head would go straight up in the air, and it would begin to howl. And I could back up with the wagon, stop, move forward, and the dog was going to howl. And that dog just loved him and never wanted to see him out of his sights. And I'll never forget one day as I went out there to feed the dog, and I went back there and I couldn't find the dog. And I thought it was kind of odd, because like I can open the gate and the dog would never leave the fence. Like, you had to physically pick up this big dog if you wanted to take him to the vet, because she was not going to leave the backyard. And I began to look, and so I went inside and asked Amy, and she's like, no, I don't know. And I went back out there and searched the backyard and called, and I got in the car and I drove down the street. I drove around, I asked our neighbors, and the dog had just disappeared. And I'm thinking, how in the world am I going to tell my son that his dog is gone? And so I don't know about you, but like, I prayed, like, God, please let me find this dog, because I don't really want to tell him that this dog has disappeared. And so it really got me, you know, does God care about dogs? Yes, I really think that he does. Does God care about cats? I've been saving that one this week, because some of you gave me a hard time about the four pictures last week of the cat and the dog. And so, you know, when we ask ourselves what God really cares about the most, though, it's lost people. And Jesus said in Luke chapter 19 that he came to seek and to save those that were lost. And that he's on this all-out rescue mission for those who have lost their way in life. And if we think about it, at some point in time in our life, we've all lost our way. And he's on that mission out to find us. And we think about loss, a lot of times we think about it being just this negative term. But when Jesus used this term, it was really a term of endearment. And what I want you to see today is this. In order for something to be lost, it must first be valued. In order for something to be lost, it must first be valued. And so what Jesus is saying when he uses that word is, there is some person that's really, really dear to me. There's some person that's just really, I love dearly. There's this person that I value greatly. There's this person that was worth me going to the cross. There's this person that I love. So in order for someone to be lost, they must first be valued. And maybe today, a lot of times it's easy for us maybe to forget our value. And maybe it's something in the past. You know, I was talking to someone and it was simply this. They tried out for a sports team in school and they thought they were good and they thought they were going to make the team. And they went and they looked at the list and then their name wasn't on the list. And they thought to themselves, I'm just not good enough. I don't know, maybe it's not that, but a lot of times maybe someone says something to you and it sticks with you, or maybe you just didn't do as well, or maybe that you failed at something, and sometimes it's easy for our value to slip and us to begin to think about things that maybe we're not good enough, maybe I'm not smart enough, maybe I'm not pretty enough, maybe I'm just not enough no matter what I try. And we really battle this lie in our life a lot of different times. And what I want you to realize is the gospel says it's not about being good enough. It's about God valuing you. And God says, and God is enough. And it's not based on you, it's based on what Jesus did for you. So in Luke chapter 15, verse 2, I want us to look at this scripture today. And what the religious people were saying here, and they spent most of the people here. In this scripture, they didn't really make the cut sheet. And so the religious people had a hard time understanding, like, why would Jesus spend time with these people? And in Luke chapter 15, verse 2, it says this, tax collectors and notorious sinners often came to listen to Jesus teach. This made the Pharisees and teachers of religious law complain that he was associating with such sinful people, even eating with them. And these are some people that felt like they were a million miles away. It says that there were tax collectors and notorious sinners. And I'm thinking, what in the world do you have to do in your life to be called a notorious sinner? I mean, these people must have really thought very badly of them. And then you have tax collectors sitting here in the sentence. And a lot of times when we mention taxes, most of us are already like, that's just not a good thing. And so when we read tax collectors, a lot of times we think IRS. And that's pretty bad as it is, but it was even worse then because like these were traitors. They were working for the country that had came in and ruled over them. And they had turned their backs on the people that they were there. They were pretty much like considered maybe a terrorist today. They were people that were really definitely hated. And they were wondering, why in the world would Jesus eat with them? And we see in verse 3, it says this. So Jesus told them the story. If a man has 100 sheep and one of them get lost, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others in the wilderness and go to search for the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he will joyfully carry it home on his shoulders. When he arrives, he will call together his friends and neighbors and say, rejoice with me because I have found my lost sheep. In the same way, there is more joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and returns to God than over the 99 others who are righteous, who haven't strayed away. You see, as I read this, it's like Jesus is pulling us into the story. And he's pulling us into the story. Especially here, he's talking to the people and something that they would understand and think, something that was very close to them. As he pulled them in, it's something that would matter greatly. And so he's asking them about going after the one, and he pulls them into the story. And the audience understood what was going on. The audience understood that when a shepherd was out there, he would keep watch over his flock, and he would keep up with every one of them. And if one was lost, he would leave the other ones with someone that he trusted, and he would go out and he would search for the other one, and he would look for them. And he would go out, and it says, what I really love here, it says, and he would go out until he found them. And so he went out and he searched. And the more you value something, the longer we search for something. The more we value something, the longer we search. And Jesus does not give up on you. And he does not give on his, up on his pursuit of you. Because the longer that we search for something, the more that we value it. It's not a very well-kept secret that I love to go by and buy me like a unsweet tea in the morning, whether it's McDonald's, whether it's Sonic. I love to go by there and I'll get me a cup of tea and I'm going to keep me a cup of tea with me. It's like you don't see me very often, most of you know, without something in my hand drinking it. And then, but if I were to set down that cup and I were to lose that cup, I'm going to spend just a few minutes looking for it. Then I'm going to give up and I'm just going to go get me another one. Now, if I were to lose my phone, I'm going to look for a few hours until I find my phone, until I give up. Now, if I were to lose my car keys, I'm going to look a lot longer than that because I'm not going to be going anywhere anyway. But if I were to lose one of my kids, I'm going to spend the rest of my life looking for them. And the more that we value something, the longer that we search for it. And I love that part because the scripture says that he searched until he finds the one. I'll never forget one day several years ago, I happened to be in Arkansas. And my phone rings. And it's my wife. And I did what any other husband would do. I hit decline. Because I'm sitting here thinking, I've got 30 more minutes in this meeting. She knows I am in a meeting. I will call her back. It can wait 30 minutes. But what I didn't know is this, that there was really a lot of fear on the other side of that phone call. What I really didn't know was the whole story that was going on. And what had happened that particular day is she couldn't find one of our kids. They were gone. And as she told me the story later, she walked in. I mean, she was in the house and she was doing some things and our son would go in and out the back door and he would play with the dog and he would play on the swing set and he would do some different things. And it had been a little bit and she thought, it seems a little bit too quiet. Anybody ever here had your kids and that's like the most nervous thing you ever had because like, what are they into? And so she began to call him and she said, well, maybe he went outside. And so she went outside and she began to call him and look for him. And she thought, okay, I don't see him outside. So she goes back in. She like looks under his bed and looks around the house and is like screaming. And kind of gets that mom voice that says, like, I'm not playing anymore. It's time for you to come out. And then she went back outside and she still can't find him. She goes to her car and she's looking in her car. She goes down the road and she's screaming and she's yelling. And she doesn't honestly remember how much time passed. Just to the point that she knew he was gone and she couldn't find him. And so she did whatever only thing she knew to do. She called 911. She had called me. And she had called a lady that would be considered their adopted grandmother that just loved them. And I never forget LaDonna. She was driving and she said the police cars, four or five of them, just kind of flew by her. She said she just kind of sunk. Like, what in the world is going on? But as the cops pull up, they find Amy and she had just found our son and he's in her arms. He's got his head dug into her arms. And basically, I guess the short story of it is, he decided it was a good time to play hide and seek and just forgot to tell her that they were actually doing that. And he had crawled in her car, and when she opened her car, he just scooted up underneath the steering wheel so that she couldn't find him. But you know, as the cops began to want to talk to him and see what happened, he just kind of tucked his head deeper into her shoulder. He was nervous, and he had shame. You know what, at that point, though, all she cared about was that he was in her arms. Didn't care about the fact of what he had done. And I think that Jesus is the same way. And as the day went on, she didn't just want him in the room with her. She wanted him in her arms. And I think a lot of times we think about the shame and we do the same thing. We want to hide and we want to think, oh, I'm so shameful. And the deal is that Jesus doesn't just want us close. He wants us in his arms. And he wants to love the shame off of us. And we stop and we think about this. And we think about, I want you to realize that Jesus doesn't punish us for our sins. He's already took the punishment on the cross for our sins. We may have to face some consequences of our sins, but we don't have to face that punishment. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, it says this, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and he sat down at the right hand in the throne of God. In the scripture, it says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame. When he was spat upon, when he was ridiculed, he was taking all that shame for us. And if you look back to that scripture, it says that he took and he joyfully put the one on his shoulder. And he takes it back. See, what they would do during this time is they would take the sheep, they would put it over here, and they would take the four legs, one on each side of their neck, and they would pull it together, and they would hold it with one hand, the legs together with their belly against their neck, so they could have the other hand free to climb out or do whatever that they need to do to get to wherever they were going. And so what they were saying is this. You see the heart of the shepherd saying, I'm going to get you home. You see this promise of the shepherd, and he looks at you and he says, I'm going to do whatever it takes to get you home. No matter how far you've wandered, this is how Jesus feels about you. This is how he feels about the lost. And when he walks home and celebrates, and see what happens when he gets home. In verse 6, it goes on to say this. When he arrives, he will call together his friends, neighbors, saying, rejoice with me, because I have found my lost sheep. The more we value something, the greater the celebration. When Jonas was found, the greater the celebration. It was a lot greater than when we found a lost dog. You know, when we stop and we really think about this, there's a celebration that takes place in heaven when one person gives a life to Christ. And it's this great celebration. And some of you, maybe you've accepted the challenge for being four, you're four, and you're going to celebrate one day when their life is changed. In Luke chapter 15, verse 7, it goes on to say this, in the same way, there is more joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and returns to God than over 99 others who are righteous and who haven't strayed away. What I want you to understand is, a lot of times we're trying to hide in our shame. And it says this, there's going to be this great party over the ones who have wandered, over the ones who have lost their way. To repent basically just means to turn to him. You see, in this story, the Pharisees had really lost their way. They had lost their value for those that were really far from God. They had forgotten what it meant to be lost. And I think if we're not careful, we can do that as well. Where would you be if God had not rescued you? Where would you be in those situations? Where would you be if you didn't know his peace? Where would you be if you have never encountered his love? Where would you be if you didn't have a shepherd? I think sometimes, if we're honest, it's easy for us to forget what it means to have a shepherd. In Psalm 23, it says this, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And I love this psalm because it represents well of what it's like to have a shepherd. I was reading this week, and a guy named Paul Miller, and he took this and he restated it in a way of what it's like when we don't have a shepherd. And so when you read it this way and you look at it here and you take just a few words out, it says, I shall be in want. I'm left overwhelmed by my wants. My soul, me, my soul is all alone. And I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and I fear evil because it's just me. Me in the presence of my enemies, my head and my cup, I feel surrounded in the presence of my enemies, and all the days of my life, I feel all alone. I think it's very easy for us to forget, if we're not careful, what it's like to not have a shepherd, and that hopelessness that comes all with it. You know, we've been entrusted with this message. And we've been entrusted with this message that we are to give, and it should give us a burden to share it. And a burden to reach people who have lost their way. Because Jesus has hope for the helpless. I caught myself thinking back this week about my grandmother. And what my grandmother would do a lot of times, she would take a sheet of paper and she would actually like get a pen and write on this piece of paper. And she would like write to a family member, and she would write it here, and she would fold it up. And then she would put it in an envelope. I know that some of you don't believe this. Then she would take it, she'd like lick this envelope. I'm not sure why she would do that. She would seal that envelope up, and then she would take this little bitty sticky sticker and she would stick it on the corner, and she would take it to the post office and she would mail it. And I guess there's like some fairies that work at the post office, because this piece of paper, it would turn around and it would end up at the place of the address that she wrote that she wanted to go, and the people could open it up and they could do the same thing and send you something back. But every once in a while, there would be a letter and it wouldn't make it where it was supposed to go. And so what they would say is simply, it got lost in the mail. And so they would say, basically, the letter just got lost. We lost the letter. And what I want you to realize in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, it says that Paul writes that we are Christ's letters. And the letter has been written on our heart. And the message needs to be given to the world that's written in us. Which really got me to thinking, so if the world doesn't know the message, then who's lost? If the letter is here and the letter is not getting to its destination, who are the lost ones? Maybe the letter's been lost in the mail. Maybe the city is lost because we've lost our burden for people. And what Christ is awakening in us is a burden for those who don't know. And God has given this hope. And he's our shepherd. And he helps take this to the truth of those, and he wants us to take the truth to those who need it. And maybe today, you just need to be reminded that God sees you. Maybe today you need to know that God knows right where you're at, and he's pursuing you. Maybe you've wondered for a lot of different reasons. Maybe you feel like you're a million miles away. What I want you to understand is there's a shepherd. And he's leaving the 99, and he's seeking after you, and he went to the cross for you because he loves you, and he values you, and he continues to search for you. Because the more that we value something, the longer that we search for it. The more value that it has, the more that we're willing to give up. And I want you to know this, that Christ died for you. That he gave his life on the cross for you. Then maybe for some of us, we've just really lost the burden for the world. And the letter that's written in us, if we're honest, it's just been kind of lost in the mail. My prayer today is that we become a church, become an individual that's for people. And that we realize the scripture says that we are his body, and we go out and we search for the one. And we do everything that we can to reach the one, knowing that there's this great party that's going to be thrown. And then for some of us, we just need to stop and realize Christ is pursuing you. And that shame in your life doesn't have to be there anymore. He'll love the shame away. He doesn't just want you close by. He wants you in his arms. He wants to say, it's okay and I love you. And so maybe today it's that time that you just quit living life without a shepherd. And realize you have a shepherd that's for you. So the musicians are going to come and we're going to sing here in a second. But my prayer today is, hey, there's a shepherd that has pursued you and is pursuing you. And he just wants to see you give your life to him. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just come to you today, dear Lord. Just thank you that we do have a shepherd that loves us so much. I pray today, dear Lord, that you just give us our burden again for those who are lost and alone without a shepherd. I pray for those today, dear Lord, that they would realize what Christ did for them and how much you love them. And I pray that they would just realize what it means to have a shepherd. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you'll stand with us, we're going to have worship here. I'm going to be at the back. I would love to speak to you. And maybe if that's you today and you just need to be praying for that burden again, that you just feel like it's lost, I just want you to take some time to pray for a moment. If it's you and you realize, hey, I'm that one, and I just want Christ to love the shame off of me, I would love to speak to you. I'm sure that someone that came to you would love to speak to you. Or you can just pick up one of those communication cards laying in your chair. You can turn it over and you can just let us know and we can contact you later. But our prayer is that you just give your life to Christ.